Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, September 28th, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's good to have you with us. On today's show, we'll talk with Dr. Laura Vess about food supply risks. Frank Katas will highlight Juno Douglas Little Theater's Insomniacs. We'll get the details about the Hasty Half Marathon, and Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here, live and local on a Juno afternoon. It's currently 57 degrees under a mostly cloudy sky here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Workers at the Fort Meade, South Dakota campus of the VA Black Hills Healthcare System recently held a rally to call attention to understaffing issues. As Jim Kent reports, it's having an impact on people from nearby reservations.
According to Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary David Shulkin, there are 49,000 open positions in the agency across the country. Alice Robbins is president of American Federation of Government Employees, Local 2342, which includes VA personnel in the Black Hills area.
Congress and the administration must act immediately to fill these 49,000 vacant positions. I mean, we promised we were going to take care of these veterans when they came home. We need to keep that promise.
Robbins says the lack of personnel and personnel performing multiple jobs they shouldn't have to puts patients at risk. Standing Rock Sioux Veteran Service Officer Manaja Hill feels the VA service is only getting worse.
My department transports veterans to appointments. And with the miles that we transport veterans, you know, we should be able to get a number of veterans with their appointments on the same day. And that's almost an impossibility with the lack of personnel down there to handle the vets.
Hill added that the VA homeless shelter located on the Standing Rock Reservation also lost its funding, leaving dozens of homeless veterans on that tribal land with nowhere to live. Those Lakota veterans are currently being taken care of by friends and relatives, says Hill, but they should be cared for by the VA. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
It's been 8 years since archaeologists and tribal leaders started to excavate an ancient village in western Alaska. The site was encased in the region's permafrost, which is melting as the planet warms. Climate change is bringing in higher tides and stronger storms. Volunteers are saving what they can before the site washes away. KYUK's Teresa Kotsarilis reports.
These are the oldest Yupik masks in the world right now. Jeez.
Archaeologist Rick Connect stands in front of a table lined with masks, tattoo needles, and children's dolls. These are just some of the thousands of artifacts found at Nunalik, the site of an ancient Yupik village. The discoveries are up to 700 years old, and they've all been preserved in the region's permafrost. The site is right on the Alaskan coast, and as the permafrost thaws and sea levels rise, Connect says his team is in a race against time.
Worst case scenario, when could this site completely disappear?
Oh, November. I mean, we could lose the whole thing this winter.
The Nunalik dig was initially controversial. It goes against Yupik tradition to disturb a sacred site. But community leaders decided to excavate when they saw that their history was washing away. Quinnahock's nearby village corporation owns all of the site's discoveries, which will be displayed in the local museum. It'll be the first museum with a collection of some of the world's oldest Yupik artifacts, located in a native Alaskan village. For KYUK, I'm Teresa Kotsarilis.
Unofficial election results show the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe has a new chairman. According to Native radio station KLND, Chairman Dave Archambault lost re-election, receiving 628 votes, while Tribal Councilman Mike Faith won with 1,082 votes. Archambault made many decisions for the tribe involving opposition of the Dakota Access Pipeline, including asking supporters to go home who were living at opposition camps for months near Cannonball, North Dakota. Since the camp's evacuation and cleanup earlier this year, the chairman has continued to be involved in the tribe's legal battle to protect water and the environment from development. He came in second place for the leadership position during the tribe's primary election this summer. Standing Rock citizens went to the polls on Wednesday. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by Northern Arizona University, a university committed to serving Native American students, offering opportunity in every direction, in Flagstaff, at community colleges around the state, and online. Learn more at nau.edu. And by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Mumpman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, September 28th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. In the studio with me is Dr. Laura Vess. She teaches sociology out at UAS, and she will be giving a lecture tomorrow night as part of UAS's Evening at Egan Lecture Series, 7 p.m. in the library, on food supply risks. Dr. Laura Vess, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So food supply risks, tell us about them.
So for my research that I'll be talking about tomorrow, I was interested in how people in Southeast Alaska perceive threats to the food supply. So it can be partly what's imported from down south, also what's local access. Is that changing because of the environment? What's available with regards to farmers markets, food supply risk, also in terms of cost and availability.
And like you said, it was very based on interviews, right?
Yes.
And where did you conduct your interviews?
So my interviews were conducted Juneau, Haines, Sitka. I interviewed people from other communities in Southeast via like Facebook, Skype, online sort of interviews or phone interviews. So there's still a Juneau skewing, but I tried to get people to represent all aspects of Southeast to some degree.
Give us a few examples of some of the responses you got.
So not surprising when people talk about food supply risk, it depends on what they're doing. So I interviewed people who they sold food for income versus people who fished. So people who fished express more concern with risk, say, from transboundary mining. People who were avid gardeners were concerned with things like weather patterns changing that might be related to climate change, or concerns with, you know, cultivators or harvesters, the berry variability, berry populations, berries seem to be changing. So it kind of, it ran differently depending on what aspect of the food supply they were most involved with.
And was there a common thread?
Common thread is most people are concerned about the environment who have something to do with the food supply in Southeast Alaska.
Okay. What surprised you most? Were there any wingnut outliers?
Gosh, I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth if I really answer like what surprised me most. I think that there's a lot of people doing great work in this. And as I'll say tomorrow night, I'm not the only one who does this, even though I might be the only sociologist in Southeast. I think there's a really major move towards cultivating local availability. My concern would still be about cost. Because a lot of times when we talk about food security or food supply, we think about cost. And that's one of the things I'll talk about tomorrow night. Just because we improve availability doesn't mean we're improving it for everybody to have equal access.
What else can we expect tomorrow night at 7 p.m.?
Well, I think it'll be an interesting conversation. I will present what I found, and I hope that people who have something to do with the food supply, whether they're with the farmers market or some of the different agencies in town that to some degree are involved in this issue, can come, maybe tap people into what they can do locally. I'm kind of giving away, but to the end of my presentation, I actually point to a few of the highlights of some of the growth in Southeast of what people are doing. And there has been, since I started this research, there's sort of been this growth reflecting an interest in making food access more common. More people are growing food here than they used to.
And you were telling me before we went on the air that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but sort of the takeaway or the deliverable from this grant is to provide communities with the information to adapt. Can you expand on that?
To some degree, this was part of a larger grant that was to help communities understand how their environments are changing, to provide data so that to some degree they can respond effectively. And so most of the other researchers were natural scientists, but I think, you know, everybody eats. So to have more information about what we can do when we're confronted with risk to our food supply is really important.
Sounds like interesting research. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it's been great. I've met some really interesting people. It's been I've appreciated people talking with me and meeting with me and taking the time to share their stories.
All right. So this is 7 p.m. tomorrow night at the UAS Egan Library. Is that right?
That's right.
And it's free?
It is free.
Well, sounds like fun. Is there anything else I'm missing or anything else you'd like to add about your talk tomorrow?
Oh, boy. I don't think so. Oh, actually, I would. There's a event. I wish I could remember the details. And Kevin Meyer was here yesterday plugging it, I think. Salmon Stories at 5 o'clock up until my talk at 7, where people come and they share some of their salmon stories. And it's a potluck style. So hopefully people will go to that and then just mosey on downstairs and think about food from a different angle.
And you've already answered, sorry, one more question. You've already answered this to some degree, but who would benefit by going tomorrow night, would you say?
There's that bias, right? I mean, we all eat. We all probably should give some thought to where our food comes from, how it's produced, how's it being paid for, and if there are any risks to it. So if you eat, this talk is for you.
Dr. Laura Vest, thanks for your time.
He's lost all his corn. And now where's the money to pay off his loan? He lost all his corn, can't pay off his loan. He lost all his corn. Well, the poor old dirt farmer, he only grows corn. Big enough. can't grow no corn. He can't grow no corn, 'cause he ain't got a loan. He ain't got a loan. He can't grow no corn. He ain't got a
Are you looking for a part-time job with a fun and creative group of people? The KTOO business office is expanding and is looking to hire an accountant to join the team. If you're detail-oriented, good with numbers, and want to work at the hub of a lot of community activity, send us your resume. We'll train the right person to work a flexible 20 hours a week. More information on our website at ktoo.org under careers. Again, that's a part-time accountant position open now at KTOO.
Support for this programming is paid for by Andy Hughes, 3200 Melissa Drive, Juneau 99801. Andy Hughes, running area-wide as writing candidate for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the October 3rd municipal election.
You're listening to a June afternoon on Thursday, September 28th, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's almost 20 minutes past the top of the hour. In the studio now is Heather Laverne. She's a writer, producer, actor, and on the board of Juno Douglas Little Theater, and Richard Carter, producer, co-writer, actor, on the board as well of the Juno Douglas Little Theater. Welcome to the show, you two.
Hey there, thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So, Juno Douglas Little Theater, Insomniacs, this weekend. Let's start with you, Heather. Tell us a little bit about Juno Douglas Little Theater and this event.
Okay, well, Juno Douglas Little Theater is the local community theater. Our goal is to try and get people who maybe have never done theater before and get them on stage, get them writing, get them directing, whatever they want to try, just kind of open some doors for people and see if they enjoy it. And this event itself is the perfect opportunity to do that. Insomniacs is a one-day theater event. It's 24 hours writing for 12 hours and then 12 hours of rehearsing, and then we put up original one-act shows. We do four shows.
And those will be on Saturday night at 7.
Yes.
Take us back to Friday. How does this all start tomorrow, Richard?
So Friday at 7 p.m. in the Jack Gallery Room, all of the writers are going to be meeting the director. We have four writers, four directors. We're going to have four groups of actors, so they're going to be divided up and mixed around in interesting ways so that people get to work with others from all walks of life and all levels of experience with theater. And we will decide on a theme at random from different suggestions that we've had. And once the writers have the theme and they meet the cast that they're writing for, then they take that as a jumping off point and they start writing all night.
So do you already have your four writers?
We do, yes, yeah.
Okay, but is there room for actors, say?
We can use so
Absolutely.
Many actors. If people want to act, we would love to have them.
And you probably already have your producers, too. Writers and producers are set.
Mm-hmm, and okay. Directors, they're all set. We can take actors up until 7 p.m. On Friday night. So if you are interested, just walk in the door, and we will put you with a group.
And there's definitely room for people who are interested in helping with props, costumes, running around doing errands during the day. There's always that one script that requires like a weird remote control or a lemonade stand or something. So we have people all day building props and finding costume pieces and going around to thrift stores and pulling from their personal closets and just trying to gather whatever we can to make the magic happen in 24 hours.
What's that like on Saturday? It sounds frenetic.
It's a weird thing where the adrenaline of the day keeps you going and you don't even really realize how tired you are until the show's over. And then all of a sudden you look in the mirror and you're like, oh, wow, I look crazy. So, yeah, it's definitely it's fast-paced and fun.
And we're going to have coffee provided in the morning from Heritage and pizza in the afternoon from Pizzeria Roma. So
nice. Did either of you happen to get your start with Juno Douglas Little Theater?
I feel like in Juneau, when I was went to college here, and before that I did theater in my hometown, but getting my foot in the door in Juneau, I started with JDLT for sure, and did the first 24-hour miracle is what we originally called it, and now we're calling it the Insomniacs. I did that in college and met some awesome people and started to do theater that way.
And Richard?
I actually did not start doing theater until I got to college, and I took a little bit of improv class. I took a theater production class at the university, and then I did a play through Juno Douglas Little Theater with the 24-Hour Miracle, and from there I auditioned for shows at Perseverance Theater, and now I'm doing my fourth show with them. So I definitely think that this helped me get my foot in the door.
Yeah, I like that about it. It sounds very accessible. And for
Absolutely.
You're saying somebody who's never acted before can come tomorrow, sign up, and be in a show on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's actually yeah. really incredible. We've had actors or people come through the door that have never acted before. We had someone actually leave work from Bullwinkle's one day, still in his Bullwinkle's uniform, smelling of pizza, and he walked in. He's like, "Can I do this?" And we said, "Yes, you can." And he came on, and he had some singing abilities and some dance moves, and we were like, "This guy's awesome." So, I mean, it's really cool what can happen.
And probably came with some free pizza.
You know, yeah. at least the smell was there. We were all grateful of that. Yeah.
If somebody does want to sign up or come tomorrow, how should they do that?
Well, they can contact us through email or on Facebook. If they want to just look up Juno Douglas Little Theater on Facebook, they can find us or our website. But they can send us an email or just walk in the door and at the Jack at 7 o'clock and or a little bit before if they would like. And we'll get them on there.
Okay. And so those are for participants. Now, for people that want to actually see the show, can you tell us how to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the Northern Lights United Church downtown at 7 p.m., that's our curtain. So the four one-acts will start at that point. We'll have an intermission with a bake sale auction, all proceeds going to Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund. We'll have baked goods for sale for donation only as well. It's $15 for general admission to see the Insomniacs and $10 for students, seniors, and children.
And I like, you guys are spelling it INSOMNI-ACS.
Yes.
Right? Insomniacs. Yes. And this was formerly the 24-Hour Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired the name change?
We just recently actually had a bunch of new people join the board, and we kind of wanted to just kind of breathe some new life into it. Last year was the last year we were using that name, and we just decided new people, kind of see what we can do with it and change it up a little bit.
All right. So any idea about the theme yet, or is it a secret?
You know, we don't know, and that's kind of the most fun. And
right.
since I'm writing this year, it's good for me not to know. I don't like to have any ideas beforehand.
In this political climate, we don't know if there's going to be a lot of political influence in the plays that are written. The theme last year was #BadHombres, and it you know, manifested itself in many different ways throughout the plays. So this year we're probably going to go for something a little bit less specific, maybe a little bit more abstract, so it could be taken in so many different directions. But I think it's safe to say that no one is going to know until 7 p.m. tomorrow.
And you're producing, right?
Yes.
But you're writing, right, Heather?
Yes, that's right.
How's that going to work for you? So you're going to get the theme,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see your group of actors.
Yeah.
And are you going to write to them?
Yes, definitely. That's the main thing that the writers have to keep in mind is you have a very specific group of people and you want to try to write to their abilities. I've written twice before, and it's really helpful if you know their look or, you know, their age and everything like that. So you
their
can kind
talents,
of...
Their
what their
skills.
Talents are. Yeah, we... have had people that we know can sing, and it's like, so we add a little bit of a musical number in there. We add people who can do really good voices. You know, we'll create like kind of a wacky character on that. If someone has some sort of like memorization limitations, you want to know that, because some people, you know, have a harder time learning lines in a short amount of time. So you're like, okay, maybe I'll just give you, you know, smaller chunks of dialogue as opposed to a giant soliloquy. So, yeah.
That's interesting. It's going to be very challenging for you as well, even as an experienced writer and actor.
Yeah.
And then it's also very accessible at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Neat collaboration. All right. 7 p.m. Show up tomorrow at the Jack if you want to participate. Or if you want to watch the show, go to Northern Light United Church at 7 p.m. on Saturday. And there'll be baked goods. You know, what else?
Yes.
theater and baked goods.
Yeah, I'm making my mom's famous chocolate chip cookies, so if you haven't had those, you need to try them.
So go have dinner and then come here for dessert and theater, right?
Exactly.
Great. Thank you both for coming on the show. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
You're welcome.
The curtain rises on the scene with someone chanting to live free. The play unfolds before my eyes. This ends the actor who is me. Sleeping hours take us far from traffic, telephones, and fear. Put out your problems with the cat. Escape until the bell you hear. Our reasons are the same, but there's no one we can blame, for there's no.
Comes from Northern Audiology and Hearing Services, working with medical professionals to diagnose hearing disorders and prescribe solutions. Northern Audiology and Hearing Services. Information at 789-6780.
Support for this KTO programming is provided by Debbie White, District 2 candidate for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the municipal election October 3rd. Paid for by Debbie White. P.O. Box 210851, Auk Bay, Alaska, 99821.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, September 28th. Scott Burton, your host, and we're right at the bottom of the hour. In the studio now are the crew to talk about the Hasty Half Marathon. We have Sarah Raster, Shannon Hasty, and Crystal Borland all in Studio A. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thanks, Scott.
It's nice to
have
us back.
Yeah, yeah. So this Sunday is the big run, right?
It sure is.
So in case people didn't hear our last interview, Shannon, tell us how the Hasty Half came to be.
It began 9 years ago as a birthday celebration, and by the time we hit the beach at the end of the run, we decided we had to take this on as an annual event, open it up to the community, and start raising money for a different cause.
Okay. And Sarah, you were part of that, right?
I was, yeah. So it was a lot of fun. It was just a handful of friends, and we had one person that did support for us. He was my husband, actually. He had a table and Gatorade and water, and he put everything in the van, and he'd go up every few miles and set up so that when we passed through, we had something to drink and someone to cheer us on. And it was really a lot of fun, and it became really important to us to carry it on. We have so much fun running every weekend together, and it was just something that we thought, this is something that a lot of different friends and groups do. Let's make it a little bit bigger of an event and accept donations on behalf of different community organizations each year.
And this year it's NAMI, right?
Yeah, so I'm thrilled that we're partnering with the Hasty Half. NAMI Juneau each year does the Extra Tough 5K and 1 mile fun run, and usually they're about a week apart. And so this year we're partnering together. So it's both a Hasty Half marathon and the Extra Tough 5K and 1 mile fun run. And all the proceeds are going to our programs. For those that don't know us, we provide programming and support for individuals who are meeting the challenges of living with mental illness, as well as their family members and friends. And all the programming we do is free. We have classes, information sessions. We provide referrals and resources in the community and also ongoing support groups.
Okay. Shannon, tell us about the details on Sunday. What's it look like?
So registration opens at the beach at 8:30, Sandy Beach. And then the shuttles, so we all load up in North Star trekking vans. They generously donate tour vans so we can accommodate 90 runners in the vans out to the beach or out from the beach to Outer Point, and that will take place at 9:15, and the half marathon starts at 10 o'clock. And then once again, at 11 o'clock, registration opens for the 5K and 1 mile, and that is an out and back. The 5K and 1 mile are both out and back runs from Sandy Beach, and they begin at 11:30.
Okay. If people want more information, where can they go?
They can, we're on Facebook, so they can look up our Facebook page, 9th Annual Hasty Half event.
Okay. I understand that there is an alternative way to participate on Sunday.
That is true. Louis Douglas Inn is donating $1 for every beer sold on Sunday, October 1st, to NAMI. So run with us on Sunday, then go to Louis and enjoy a beer, or just go to Louis and enjoy a beer. But we really want to give a shout-out to Louis and to Abby, the whole crew there. That's a really generous thing that they're doing, and we appreciate their partnership.
Okay. Sunday is October 1st, and that denotes another special date, right?
Yes. The Hasty Half has adopted a week of kindness in the Juneau Year of Kindness, and that October 1st kicks it off. So October 1st through 7th is our week of kindness.
And we will be conducting, we're actually started already, a gently used running and athletic shoe drive. So check your closets and see what you might have. We're accepting all sizes. We have drop boxes at Nugget Alaskan Outfitter and also at the Foggy Mountain Shop. So thank you very much to those businesses for helping us out. We will also have a drop box at Sandy Beach on Sunday, the day of the run. And people are also welcome to try and contact me, Sarah Raster, through our Hasty Half Marathon Facebook page and arrange a pickup. I'd be happy to do that.
Where are you going to take those shoes once you have them?
That's a great question. We will be contacting schools and different organizations in our community to donate them based on the sizes and the genders, the different kinds of shoes that we get. So we'll find the best fit no pun intended, for those shoes with different community organizations that are in need of those things.
Remind me what year this is now of the Hasty Half.
This is the 9th year that we've been doing it.
What's the future look like?
We were just talking about that, Shannon and I were. We are pretty excited. We're so excited for 10 years, and we're thinking that we're going to shoot for 20. We've had such a great community response. People come out. They have so much fun. It's really a low-key, very community-oriented, very friendship-oriented event. We have a lot of support stations. We have them more frequently than you would find in a regular race. We have them at mile 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. So every couple miles, you get to kind of tick off that you've gone that much further. They're friendly faces. There's water and Gatorade, bananas, lots of cheering. We have wonderful groups that are manning our support stations this year. We've had volunteers that have been with us for all the years that we've been doing this run. This year we have the Thunder Mountain High School cross country team that's going to man a station. We have a NAMI team. We have Girls on the Run, a station from CrossFit Juneau, and a lot of other community volunteers. So it's a lot of fun. There are a lot of people that will be out there. If you live on Douglas, come on down to the end of the road and cheer everybody on. It's great fun, and the more that you cheer, the more fun all the runners have and everybody has. So.
And is a half marathon 12 miles?
It's 13.1.
13.1. Okay. You can tell how much I run. I know that some people like to log their miles and do races very competitively. Are those people invited? And will this work for them too?
Everybody's invited, and we certainly think that it works for them because we have a time clock running. We're just not taking the times, so we're not posting the times. So they're not earning the points for running. But we always ask people if they want to be competitive with themselves to, keep track of their own time, but we still have the stopwatch going.
Okay. And can you remind us again of the times that start happening on Sunday morning?
Yep, you bet. 8:30, registration opens for the half marathon at Sandy Beach. 9:15, the shuttles depart the beach, and 10 a.m., the run starts at Outer Point. For the 5K and 1 mile, 11 o'clock, registration opens, and the out and back 5K and 1 mile both start at 11:30.
Okay. Crystal, will you be running or supporting?
I will be running. This will be my first half marathon, and I encourage anyone who doesn't think they can make it to come out with me. I will be doing some intermittent walking, but I've supported as a station before, and I know how much cheering and excitement that comes from all the people that are supporting you, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Sarah, running or supporting?
I'm going to run this year.
All right. Shannon?
I'm running.
All right. Thank you all for coming on the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Please come out and join us on Sunday, October 1st. And, any donation that you can give to help out NAMI Juneau would be greatly appreciated. 100% of the donations go towards our NAMI this year. All of the supplies are donated by our race coordinators, our run coordinators. So 100% of the money that's raised will go to NAMI. So come on out and run with us. It's really fun.
And for more info, Hasty Half Marathon on Facebook, right?
That's right.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
She wouldn't stay. I drank away my sorrows and jumped into who I've been told. I can't recall those times now that I don't know. Strange how one choice can change who we become. One wrong turn, no matter where you're from. Run to heaven, run to hell.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Thursday, September 28th.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 28th of September, 2017. It was on this day, 1066, William the Conqueror of Normandy arrived on British soil, having defeated the British in the Battle of Hastings, and on Christmas Day he was crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey, and thus began an enormous change in the English language. The British back then speaking a combination of Saxon and Old Norse, the Normans spoke French, and over time the languages blended. The Anglo-Saxons said house, the Normans said mansion, the Saxons said cow, the Normans said beef. And now the English language contains more than a million words, one of the most diverse languages on earth. It's the birthday of the teacher, philosopher, and political theorist popularly known as Confucius, born in China in the year 551 B.C., born to an aristocratic family that had lost its wealth, and so he was born in poverty. As a young man, he sought out masters to teach him music, archery, chariot driving, calligraphy, and arithmetic, and then began to turn to questions of morality and ethics, the importance of self-discipline and virtue. Confucius, who taught humility, compassion, and tradition, and who said, "What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others." It's the birthday of Kate Douglas Wiggin, born in Philadelphia, 1856, author of Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm, and also the woman who started the first free kindergarten on the West Coast in San Francisco. She said, "Every child born into the world is a new thought of God, an ever fresh and radiant possibility." It's the birthday of a man who shaped popular culture in America for almost 25 years, Ed Sullivan, born New York City, 1901, gossip columnist for the New York Daily News, who tried hosting a show on a new invention called television. He was 46 years old. It premiered on CBS in 1948, and within a few years, it was watched every Sunday night by 50 million people. He put together opera singers, rock stars, novelists, poets, magicians, bears on roller skates, elephants on water skis. Everything was positive on the show. He welcomed African-American performers, Jackie Robinson, Duke Ellington, Richard Pryor, James Brown. Ed Sullivan, the last MC in America who tried to appeal to everybody. He said his formula for success was open big, have a good comedy act, put in something for children, and keep the show clean. Here's a poem for today by Tracy K. Smith entitled The Good Life. When some people talk about money, they speak as if it were a mysterious lover who went out to buy milk and never came back. And it makes me nostalgic for the years I lived on coffee and bread, hungry, all the time, walking to work on payday like a woman journeying for water from a village without a well, then living one or two nights, like everyone else, on roast chicken and red wine. The Good Life, Tracy K. Smith, from her collection Life on Mars, published by Grey Wolf Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this programming is paid for by Rob for Assembly, P.O. Box 32754, Juneau, Alaska, 99803. Rob Edwardson, running for District 2 for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the October 3rd municipal election.
You're listening to A Juneau Afternoon here on Thursday, September 28th. About 13 minutes till the top of the hour, and in the studio now is Nancy DeCherney here with our weekly edition of Arts Up, or what's going on this weekend here in the capital city arts-wise. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thanks. We'll try to get to some of it.
All right.
We can never get to all of it.
Where do we start?
Let's see. This evening from 5 to 7 in the Assembly Chambers, they're doing a downtown design plan for the waterfront. And while you're down there, you could go look at the new Aquilians that are posted, which you went down and looked at, right?
I did. I went and saw them today and talked to some people about them, and we're going to have a story on here on K2 about them.
They're going to be great. I'm looking forward to the whole situation. So also, from 6 to 9, there's an evening at SALT, an Alaskan-inspired dinner by award-winning, is that what they mean to say here, Chef Lionel Udipa. Live music by Rob Cohen and an exciting silent and dessert auction. So you can, this benefits, it looks like the Birth Center. So if you need someplace to go for dinner tonight, call 586-1203 and get your reservations and go there. Eat for a purpose, you know. Eat on purpose. let's see, there's Chad Deity. This is, you have two more weekends. This is one of the best things I've ever seen there. It is hilarious. It is interactive. It's outright prolonged laughter, but at the same time, a little bit thoughtful. And you're going to be happy you went. You're going to wish you see it again. So you'll have to fly to Anchorage. So don't hesitate. Get tickets now. This is going to be a great weekend weather-wise, as far as I can tell. There is from 5 to 7 on Friday that we're doing a big read. The library got a big read grant to National Endowment for the Arts. Everybody is reading Station 11. The kickoff is on Friday at from 5 to 7 at the Alaska State Library. There's going to be a panel of Alaskan artists there, including Vera Starberg and Don Reardon, to talk about the power of art in a colonized indigenous Alaska. There will be refreshments. There's a whole month long of things to do for the big read. The Stations 11 is about sort of everything is wiped out, some sort of disease, and how people make it through using the arts. I'm kind of in the middle of the book, so I don't know the whole thing. I cannot reveal the end. Sorry.
Don't spoil it.
Anyway, let's see. There's a ballroom dance on Friday night at 7 p.m., the Fabulous Fall Fling. This is there'll be dance lessons with Patrick Courtenage, a $10 donation, but also lots of fun. 7 to 8 p.m. evening at Egan is about When the Barge Stops Running, Southeast Food Security Advocates, which is also sort of part of what this big read thing is kind of addressing a little bit. But there's a commonly used statistic that 95% of Alaska's food supply is imported from outside the state. So what are we going to do if we don't have the barge?
Have some kale.
Nobody eats their kale. let's see. Also on Friday night is the big gala, the Sea Alaska Heritage Tana Art Auction. This was fabulous. I went to the first one they did just to see the stuff, let alone you could perhaps buy some of it. But it's a dinner and a fashion show and all kinds of things. 7:30 to 10. I think it's a different time than that, actually. 6 o'clock is when it
and
is.
And I wonder, isn't there a pop-up store open today?
Yes, to get the fashion.
Walter Soboff Center.
Yes.
Probably right now as we
right
speak.
Right now. Dash over. What are we doing here? Okay. Let's see. Then we also have this weekend Skagway Burlesque has come to Juneau. They're going to be at the Red Dog Saloon. This is Taylor Vidic and Cameron Brockett and a bunch of other people like Allison Holtkamp and just people you know and love are going to be doing some burlesque here. Come on down. You can get tickets online. They have a go to our website, jahc.org, and the info is there about where to get your tickets. So two nights, and I think they have like two performances each night, so Friday and Saturday and what all. On Saturday, there's a Toastmaster conference in town, actually, at the Baranoff Hotel. You can get more information about that on the website. Create your vision, your life vision board workshop over at the Yacht Club. You can create a vision that's going to transform your life. So, again, information on the thing. That's from 8 to 3 p.m. Friends of the Poor Walk Run starts at 8:15 at St. Paul's. You have talked about the Hasty runs. There's also a cyclocross race, number one, that starts at Sandy Beach at 9:15. There's a lot of running around going to happen this weekend. The Rotary Bulbs, if you forgot to buy some, you can go to the AELNP shop and get some, their garage. And also you should go pick up your Rotary Bulbs that you ordered because they have fabulous things there. Farm Day at Swampy Acres from 11 to 4. Pilates at Juneau Dance. There's a Juneau Cabaret at the Alaska State Museum from 2 to 3:30. Mary Lou Spartz and the guests from the Byrne Thompson Writers Group will be at the Jack doing a poetry reading as part of M.K. McNaughton's This Life exhibit. This is the last weekend to see that exhibit, so you need to come down and catch that. 4 to 7, the Princess Sophia Historical Cruise. There's a lot of stuff going on about the sinking of the Princess Sophia. There's going to be an opera. There's paintings being done. Get the early bird stuff on that and go out on this cruise and you get to see. I don't think they're going to push you overboard to see that stuff, but I think they have films and stuff. It's going to be very, very interesting for us to revisit that history. There's a recovery costume ball at the Jack from 7 to midnight on Saturday night. And as you mentioned, the Insomniacs are going to be doing their thing. Used to be called 24-Hour Miracle, and then I guess they realized why they're up all night.
And they'll be at Northern Light for the actual performance, right?
Mm-hmm. And they come into the Jack, I think, on Friday night to sort of get organized. So if you're interested in being a part of it, stop in down there. That information is on our website also. There's a Southeast Hip Hop Showcase at the Elizabeth Paradovich Hall at 9 p.m. on Saturday with DJ. There's several performers coming, being part of that, but explicit content. So it's be warned. Speaking of which, there's burlesque again on Saturday night. There's the Hasty Marathon on Sunday in the morning. Let's see. The Snow Walker is going to be over at Goldtown on Tuesday. Remember to vote. And if you don't know who you're voting for, go onto many of the resources and read people's statements. We have the statements that people sent to us on the Arts Council. Ask them about art. Their views on the arts. So go to our website to check those out or look around. K2 has a series, right?
Absolutely, ktoo.org.
Okay, so go there. And let's see, on Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m., Animal Emotions. It's the Wildlife Wednesday out at the Valley Public Library, a discussion with Bob Armstrong about the emotional lives of animals. And we knew they had them, right?
Mm-hmm. We just always wondered how they felt.
Yes. Well, sometimes they feel good. Currently my cats are annoyed at each other. But, oh, I forgot. Let's see. On Tuesday, there's an evening with Dr. Zitter at Centennial Hall, the author of Extreme Measures, Find a Better Path to the End of Life. So
I know we always say this, but there's a lot of stuff going on in this town.
There is, and on top of that, there's when it's a nice weekend, you need to go outside and get your garden ready or go for a hike or you just take advantage of it.
And it's all across the spectrum. There's running events, burlesque, music,
life
views, lectures.
Yeah, art.
Animal emotions.
There's all the things that
something
you can,
for everyone and everything.
Absolutely, and we want everyone out and enjoying life.
Indeed.
So we'll see you at something.
Nancy DeCherney, thank you so much. She's here every Thursday with Arts Up. Thank you for tuning into a Juno afternoon today. Andy Klein will be your host tomorrow. The forecast for tonight calls for patchy fog after 1 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 43. Friday calls for patchy fog before 1 p.m. Otherwise, mostly sunny. Really, the high near 54. On Saturday, it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 51. Calm wind becoming southeast around 5 in the afternoon, and Sunday calls for partly sunny skies with a high near 52. Again, thanks for tuning in to a Juno afternoon.